Chiro and Pippa spoke briefly about this story which has been on the BBC's website. Britain is to ban all new and petrol and diesel cars and vans from 2040. This is an anti-pollution move. France has said something similar. India has been even more ambitious and said that it wants no new petrol and diesel cars to be sold in that country from the year 2030. I read in the Times newspaper today, coincidentally, that Toyota is aiming at electric cars by 2022. And that will be an electric car, according to this Reuters story, powered by a new type of battery that significantly increases driving range and reduces charging time. Electric vehicles typically have a range of between 300 and 400 kilometers at the moment and need 20 to 30 minutes to recharge, even using fast chargers. But these solid-state batteries can apparently be charged in a matter of minutes. Alexander Parker, Mr. Motoring, is on the line to us now. Alexander, good afternoon. Is that 2040 deadline set by the British and the French relatively easily achievable?
I think if you hi John, good to chat. I think if you understand exactly what Michael Gove was saying, I don't think that he's excluding hybrid cars, for example, that will still come with an internal combustion engine. So I think that the thought is to ban cars that run solely on internal combustion, so diesel or petrol cars. I doubt they would have the capacity. I just don't think that the industry or the infrastructure could cope with a complete ban on all internal combustion in what is just in 20-odd years' time.
But 20-odd years, with the way technology develops at the moment, is like three centuries between 1400 and 1700.
It certainly feels that way. I can't believe the iPhone is only 10 years old. But I think that it's the technology in the vehicle itself, but I think there's also a problem with the infrastructure that will be required. I want you to imagine what would happen if at 5 o'clock everyone in London piled out of their office, got into their car, drove home, and then plugged it in. The consequences for the national grid would be really quite something. So I think that we will still see hybrid cars, we'll still see petrol stations after 2040 in the UK, but I think that it's probably the start of a process that will eventually lead to almost complete electrification in terms of personal mobility.
This claim by Toyota that they're going to be able to start manufacturing in 2019 in China, mass producing electric vehicles, and that by 2022 they'll be able to put into the market an electric car powered by the solid state battery, which gives you 500 kilometers and takes only a minute and a half to recharge. Is that in the cloud?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that I would certainly never bet against Toyota being able to do something like that. About 3 years ago, I was in Tokyo and I drove a hydrogen-powered car that you can now buy in certain markets across the world. You just need to put hydrogen in it instead of petrol, and it's a fully functioning thing, and everyone thought that was a crazy idea too. I think that the amount of R&D that is going into battery technology, not only in the car companies, but also in companies like Apple and the people who make computers, the advances are so fast and so huge that the range improvement we've seen on electric cars already in the past, I would say, 5 years, would point to the fact that whatever Toyota are cooking is probably, it's probably exactly what they're saying. I would imagine it'll be hugely effective.
I had wonderful fun earlier this year. No, last year, late last year. It was at the time of the Cape Town 7, so late last year, driving the BMW i3. And that has a little petrol backup to it. But I was able to get 130 kilometers on a full charge for the battery. The current technology cars that might be available internationally, if not in South Africa, what's the kind of range that is possible with a car that I could buy tomorrow?
I think that the most recent versions of the i3 come with improved range. I think you can certainly get more than sort of 200 or 250 Ks out of one of those before you start leaning on that little petrol range extender engine they have. I think that this technology takes a while to filter down into a product that you can go and buy at a local forecourt. But certainly, compared to the range that we saw on the Nissan Leaf when it was first launched in South Africa quite a while ago now, the improvements have already, on the road, been quite impressive. So there's no doubt that this is coming and coming fast, and while it might seem like we're talking nonsense perhaps to South African listeners because we don't see them on the road, there are only about 300 electric cars on the road in South Africa today. It is going to happen, and we had better be ready for it.
And one of the things that Chiro brought up when my colleague Pippa asked him, she'd obviously seen the story on the BBC as well, he said, well, you know, what are Caltex and Shell and Engen and Sasol going to sell instead of the petrol which we're currently putting into cars?
It's a very good question, and it's part of the absolutely staggering disruption that the motor industry and all associated industries are going through. I know it's a bit of a pop phrase at the moment, but think about what that means. It's quite something. If you run a mechanic shop, for example, your electric car has no gears, no clutch, has one or two moving parts only. All of these businesses are going to completely have to reinvent what it is they do. And petrol stations, well, obviously they can sell electricity, and most of them now also try and sell you a coffee and a burger, and that's probably the future for them.
So, electricity, when I had the i3 for that week, I was charging it overnight, and it was the last thing that I connected overnight and the first thing that I looked at in the morning, and the difference in the economy of charging it, what it cost me in electricity, what it would have cost me to drive that distance with petrol, it's huge. I mean, it was, yes, the car is more expensive, but the power to make it move on the road is so much cheaper at South African electricity rates.
Yeah, absolutely, it will be. And this is this is some of the really exciting stuff. Now, what this all means for the broader economy, especially if you have a situation where you're trying to use more and more renewables in your electricity mix, the price of energy and therefore personal mobility should be plummeting over the next 50 or 100 years, and that's got to have consequences broadly for the economy.
Are there people seeking to put spanners in the works? Would the conspiracy theorists have an argument that there is an establishment, if not direct sabotage, an establishment blockage of new technology which would disrupt in the way that this technology is likely to disrupt transport?
I think that we know that that did happen to the electric car in the early part of the last century. And I think that there was quite a lot of collusion between big oil and the nascent motor companies. I also think that certainly back in those days, a petrol was a much more viable option in terms of the infrastructure. These days, I can't really ask the question. I don't know. I haven't heard of anything to that effect. But there are some enormously powerful interests at stake. So I wouldn't be in the least bit surprised if there is shenanigans going on in the background.
Alexander Parker, thank you very, very much indeed. Always enjoy talking cars with motoring journalist and Alexander Parker.